I really thank God for the little one's patience. Right. What you saw so far was not Sunday school, it is school. And that's the way the Lord intended our schools to be. But we changed and we took God out of the system and made what we see, what we have now. This evening, I'm not going to talk about ACE education, which you heard from Sister Jacinda and Sister Rosa, and the philosophy behind it, the academics behind it. That's not my portion. My portion is the theology behind it. So first, I'll read three scriptures. And I would have Psalm 127, verse 3. First, remember who the children belong to. Before you pick your school, before you decide what to do with your children, remember who the children belong to. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children do not belong to us. It belongs to Him. The other verse which we often heard today is in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Therefore, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then another portion we saw today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which will command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What are we supposed to teach our children? God says, His word. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Oh, I wish I had learned these words when I was young. I had no. Every time I see a GTLC video, I want to go back to school. GTLC school, not the old schools where we studied, okay? We need to know our children belong to God. And there's an incredible battle raging for the minds and the hearts of our children. The enemy has subtly, very subtly, and now openly taken over the entire education system. The powers of darkness. Everywhere, from school to college to university to every level, forces of humanism, secularism, every ism is unleashed on the minds of our children. From early childhood. And we as parents, because we put the world first and success in the world first, far ahead of the kingdom of God and His righteousness, have played along unknowingly, unwittingly to the agenda of the powers of darkness. We feared, honestly, the devil more than we trusted God. Because in Matthew 10, verses 28 onwards, God says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." But you see, God says, don't worry about the one who can harm your body. Worry about the one who can harm your body and your soul. But you see, we value the body, unfortunately, more than we value the soul. So the education in the world is all connected with the body, with the temporal. And we forgot in the process the eternal and the soul. Every place I go, every church meeting, at the end of it, the parents come and tell me, this is where my son is, this is where my daughter is, this is what they are doing in US, in UK, in the Middle East, everywhere. They say, would you please pray for them that they come back to the Lord? Because we put a priority on the body and not on the soul. Christian education focuses first on the soul because that's what God is interested in. But if you look at education, we heard from Sister Rosa the reason how ACE started in US because of the lawsuits and the rulings of the Supreme Court, where God, who was the focus of Christian education, education in America and in UK, everywhere, every university worth its name has started as a Bible college. And today, in those same places, you cannot utter the name of God, you cannot read the Bible, you cannot pray. God and His Word has been completely taken out, and even to utter it is an offense. That's how warped our minds have become. If you look at the foremost nation, Christian, successful nation on the world, and if you read the Declaration of Independence, it's interesting. This is the Declaration of Independence, of liberty, according to the Constitution of US. This is what they say. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Did you see? This is their constitution, the main focus of their constitution. But you know what? Their constitution says that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator. But you cannot talk about the Creator anymore in their public schools. You cannot teach creation anymore. You have to bow to the God of science and speak only about evolution from the time the child goes to school. Yet this is what their constitution says. Inalienable rights. We have been endowed with certain unalienable rights, and that among these, the first right mentioned in the Constitution is life. Yet millions upon millions of babies have been killed in the womb, sanctioned and permitted by the courts of US, and the children in the public schools are allowed to have abortions if they become pregnant without the permission of the parents, when their constitution says the first right you have is the right to life. And you want to ask, I want to ask the parents and the parents to be, this is where you want your children to grow up and learn. This next right is liberty. Yet we have been made by the secular humanistic teaching to be slaves of materialism. And the next is the pursuit of happiness. We do not no longer know what happiness is. We have turned our backs to the Creator. Our hands are covered with the blood of unborn children. We are slaves of materialism. We have failed as fathers and as mothers to raise up godly children, a children who belong to God. Because we put secular education above education for the soul. Our children grow up in a world where the new watchword is tolerance. Tolerance to everything except God and His biblical truth. Tolerance to everything else. A confused generation who do not know anymore what truth is. And we are so happy when they come back with their academic credentials and hang their medals on our walls and their trophies on the walls, without realizing they have earned those medals and those trophies by denying the living God in their answer papers. And we, I'm not talking about others, we Christian parents are equally guilty. And as the world is hurtling headlong to a day the Bible calls the Day of Judgment, a generation is growing up, not even aware what the rules of engagement are. Yes, we send our children to the world. Yes, we do send our children to the world, but only after they are strong enough to resist the world. That's how overcomers are made. That's the purpose of ACE. That's the purpose of Christian Bay, that not only you excel in academics, but you excel spiritually. Samuel was educated by Hannah's accelerated Christian education, homeschooling. Therefore, when he was sent into the world among the sons of Belial, he could stand there alone and hear the voice of God and turn an entire generation back to God. One boy who got homeschooling before he was sent into the world. John the Baptist, who was raised up by old parents, grew up in the wilderness and was trained by the very Spirit of God, homeschooled by the Spirit of God, so that when he was released to the world, he could turn our nation back to repentance and point to the way of the coming Lord. That's what homeschooling means. That's what it means. You need to realize in most, I was telling the church in the morning, most European nations, including Germany, from which great Christian philosophers came, you can no longer homeschool a child. If you do it, the government will come, arrest the kid, the parents, and take the kid away from the system and put them into a system where they are learned in a godless society. That's what Christian nations have become. That's what we need to realize. We still have the freedom to homeschool. And more than any other age, you will see the maximum number of homeschooling is taking place in US because Christian parents are pulling out their children from the public school system and training them at home so they can grow up knowing God and not growing up academically successful yet denying the very God who created them. Also, for parents, once our children are ready, if we don't let them, it prepares you in the spirit, in the soul, and in the mind, and in the body. Once our children are ready, if you don't let them back to the world, be sure God will take them to the world. If needed in chains, to prove to the world that these are men and women of a different caliber. Like Joseph and Daniel were taken into the world in chains, but they were homeschooled by their parents. By the time they reached the world, they could stand there all alone and stand up for the living God. They stood there on the principles of faith they had imbibed in their youth and declared the righteousness of a living God in an absolutely abominable world. I read about this every day. Every day I read about something that is happening in a classroom of a homeschool child. A homeschool child who was brought up in the principles of faith has reached the Ivy League university and where they are mocked for their faith, picked on by the professors. And I read this last night about a leftist, humanistic, feminist professor mocking the faith of a young man in a university and saying to him, "What do you think? Your heterosexuality, which your Bible preaches, is superior to my homosexuality?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She's asked him, "Give me one proof, one evidence that your heterosexuality is superior to my homosexuality." And he stood up and said, "Ma'am, with all respect, I tell you, my faith and what my God says about sex is superior to yours because it brings forth life while yours does not." Every day these kids stand up in unknown colleges and known colleges and fight for their faith because they were homeschooled first and taught to put God first. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is with powers of darkness who are battling for the minds of our children. So the question is this, as parents and to be parents, do we place these tender minds in the front line, where there is a battle going for their minds? Or do we commit to train them up in the ways of the Lord? God had warned us through Israel. He had warned us from Israel that if we move away from the precepts he had taught us to teach our children and our grandchildren, a day will arise. The fate of our children would be what happened to Israel. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 32, scripture says, "Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand." All around the world, Christian parents, their state has become like this. Their children have academic brilliance, but they are drug addicts, they are alcoholics, they are promiscuous, they are into free sex, they are into homosexual lifestyle, and with longing they are waiting for their prodigals if they will ever come home, because they put the world first and not the kingdom first. That's what God had said, and he had promised this will happen if you choose to move away from what I have told you, what is right. The book of Proverbs, the writer of the book of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 15. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be numbered. What does it mean? Our educational system without God is twisted. It is deceptive and it is worth nothing in the long run. It cannot be straightened. So we have a young generation struggling with drugs, with alcohol, with free sex, with violence, above all with depression and suicide. That's the truth. Because they do not have the conviction or the strength of a Daniel to stand up and say, I will not eat or partake of anything that will defile my body or my mind. This is a battle for the next generation. We might be a tiny minuscule. What you saw was just 11 kids. A tiny minority. In that 11 kids which you saw today, 4 are orphans and are called by the government special needs. 4 of the children you saw today are special needs children. One of them who was standing there at the back and singing hymn after hymn without looking back, which we parents who are Christian do not know by heart. Special needs. But that's what God can do with challenged children, and says they will be a challenge to those ones who think they are normal. That's what our kids can do if we surrender them into the hands of the living God. They are not special needs kids anymore. They are special kids in the hands of the living God. So it doesn't matter if they look so small. Our schools which teach this system look very small, because if we have God on our side, doesn't matter how small we are. Because God said, if God is for you, who can be against you? We have God on our side when we put God above everything else. Remember the fateful words of Jonathan on that day, when Israel, who had turned back from the living God and was surrounded by the Philistines, one man, young man of faith, stood up, and this is what he said in 1 Samuel 14:6. Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, two young men, all the older ones have compromised. They have no power to resist. They have no power to fight, because they have compromised in their personal lives to the values enjoined by the living God. So they have no power to fight. Two young men stand up and they say, come, let us go over to the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. This, our God is not interested in numbers. Our God is interested in those who will stand up and say, Lord, I want to believe you. I want to stand up for what you say is true. God can say with many, or God can say with 11, with few. You know that battle that day two men fought? Scripture says it was just half an acre. It was just a half an acre of the whole nation of Israel. They won half an acre. And our school may be restrained to 2 rooms or 3 rooms, less than half an acre. But do you know what happened when they took that half an acre? Scripture says in verse 15, there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a great trembling. When two men took half an acre, the whole earth trembled. When 11 children take less than half an acre, powers of darkness will tremble, because God knows what they will become one day. Become one day. We invest in our children. These 11 children for me represents God's half an acre. If they are small, let it be. God can deliver with many or with few. Those of our parents, us parents, I include myself in it. Children have grown up and we did not know about a concept called ACE, and did not know, and we send them into the world and the world has swallowed them up now. God says, if my people who are called by in my name, the children sang that, will humble themselves and pray and seek my ways and turn away from the world, the wicked ways of the world, he says, I will hear you and I will forgive your sins and I will heal the land. may tell you, as a pastor all these years, every place I go, every place I go, it doesn't matter whether it's the poorest or poor church somewhere in North India or an extremely prosperous community to whom I preached 2 days back in Dubai. Everywhere the cry of the parent is the same. Will my child come back? Will my child come back? Everywhere it's the same. Will my child come back? The poor and the rich, it's irrespective. An educational system that mocks God. Mocks God. It doesn't matter. India may be the most religious country in the world, but when you go to school, they teach you. God did not create anything. We evolved. We evolved. No, we did not evolve. We were created in the image of the living God. That's where it starts. If you're planning to think Sunday school will change the hearts of your children, parents, you're fighting an uphill battle. They learn one day in Sunday school that God created them, and 6 days at school that they evolved from some unknown mass globe. Which do you think in the long run they will believe? At Sunday school and at home they believe in loyalty, in faithfulness, in honor, in integrity, in holiness. 5 days a week they hear there is nothing like that. You make your own rules as you go. And when you, by the time you reach university, there is no longer truth. It's relative truth. Your truth, my truth, live by whatever truth that makes you free. And by the time our kids come back home, they are slaves. They are slaved. Enslaved by a world which we as parents put into the hearts. You need to succeed in this world. Succeed in this world. Succeed in this world. We did not realize true success comes from God. Exaltation doesn't come from the east or the west. It doesn't come by the arm of flesh. Exaltation comes from God and God alone. So this night, my exhortation as a servant of God to young children sitting over here and to young parents who have small children and married to be parents is that put the soul of your child far above what can happen to the body. God says, don't you see the sparrows of the Father in heaven takes care of the sparrows? Not even one falls to the ground without your Father in heaven. Are you worried about their future? Are you worried about their career? Or are you more concerned about their soul? So today, take a paradigm shift as parents. Turn it around. As grandparents sitting over here, cry out day and night for the souls of your grandchildren, not the academic excellence of your grandchildren. If you put your soul first and decide to honor God first, scripture says in the secular subjects of Babylon, when Daniel was tested, he was found how many times better? 10 times better than the others. It's the same God. The God of Daniel is your God and my God. The God of Joseph is my God and your God. Scripture says every time about Joseph, Joseph prospered and Joseph, God was with Joseph. Not when he was in his father's house in Canaan. Not when he was standing as second into the Pharaoh. But when he was a slave and when he was a prisoner. When he decided to stand up in his chains for the truth of God. Scripture says God was with him and he prospered. So do not fear. Do not fear about the future of your children. Do not fear. And as parents, I'm telling you again, don't put wrong ideas into the minds of your children. Again, as I close, I will tell you this. My idea about this was framed the year I came to know the Lord in a youth camp. I had just come to the Lord, and the youth group through which I came to the Lord invited me for a youth camp. It was at the Whaley, I still remember, at the hostel, youth hostel at Whaley by the lake. And I was there. I was my first youth camp, 2 months into the Lord. And there used to be a sister who used to take the Bible studies in the afternoon and in the night. Her name was Bina Chako, if I remember. This is way back in 1980s. And I remember her going in the morning and coming back in the afternoon. Going in the morning and coming back in the afternoon to teach us. And we asked, one day I casually asked, where is Bina Chichi going? And they said, no, she's going for her university exams. This is her university exams are going on. I said, her university exams are going on and she's coming in the afternoon teaching us in the night, praying with us late in the night, morning wakes up and goes, does her exam and comes back. And they said, yes, she made a commitment to the Lord. I will minister to these young ones during the camp. And when the camp dates were already fixed and the exam dates and the camp dates clashed, and she decided, I'm going to go put God first. I will go to that camp, minister to these new ones in the faith. those who are there, and they said, every day she comes, she writes her exams, comes back, and she teaches you young ones. And I took it, I forgot about it. 6 months later, when I looked into the newspaper, I saw her picture. Bina Chako, first rank, Kerala University. And I still haven't forgotten it. What then, after that only, I found scripture where God said, those who honor me, I will honor them. I'll honor them. That's what real acceleration should come from. Our children should excel because not just they worked hard, not they burned the midnight oil, all that is good has discipline, but because they honored God and put the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, let them excel. It is not only joy on earth, it will be great rejoicing in heaven too. And our joy will be multiplied when we stand before God and He will say, well done, my good and faithful father and mother. You did a good job with your children. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, this evening we just thank you. We just praise you. We just worship you. You know, Father, as parents, the older parents, grandparents, the mistakes we made. And you are, as a father, you understand and you sympathize with us. All we ask, oh Father, is mercy, mercy, mercy for a generation that has gone away from you. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, mercy. We will never stop waiting. We will never stop praying for them. So that, oh Lord, one day they will come back to their senses. And they will stand up. And they will turn back to their heavenly Father's house. Oh Father, have mercy upon our young ones who have turned away from you. But today, we commit our little ones into the hands, oh Lord. I pray you'll put a shield around their minds, a shield around their hearts. Four of them are orphans. They could be adopted this year and go away from us. But Father, our cry is, Lord, before they go, they would know you. Your word would be in their heart. Your songs would be in their lips. So it doesn't matter which home they go to. You'll be able to speak to them and they will be able to hear your voice and understand your voice like Samuel was able to hear your voice and understand your voice right there in Shiloh, where there all the servants were living in sin, oh Father. That's our cry. That's our prayer for our young ones, oh Lord. We pray, Lord, they will walk with God. They will hear your voice. They will obey you. And a generation will rise that was prophesied by Daniel, that they who know the Lord will do great exploits, oh Master. That's our only prayer for our children. Not academic excellence, because we know you will give it to them. Not prosperity and success, because no, it will automatically come. But Father, they will be spiritual giants who will stand up in this hour of darkness, so that people around will look back and say, that's the one I want to be like. His God, her God is that I want to serve a God. That's our prayer for our little ones. Father, thank you, Father, for committing these 11 children into our hands. It's our privilege, it is our honor to keep bringing these children each day back to you, because you said, the children belong to me. Thank you, Father. Let us never, ever forget the children belong to you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Bless your people, bless their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.